Why do you have to get on your knees to propose? That doesn't even make any sense at all. It just tells the woman that she has authority over you. And you're going to be licking boots along you with her. I don't know who came up with that idea of getting on your knees to propose. It was a big mistake. It's just another way of weakening the man or men. And the marriage don't last. They fight for the rest of the marriage until they separate. In the good old days, men did not get on their knees to propose. They just said, you want to get married? Well, let's get married. All right. Not on their knees. Things have really, really changed. I remember in the good old days when men did not wear rings. They just gave it to the woman so that the world can know that the woman is in his world and I belong to him. But now the women have made men start wearing wedding rings. They have literally made you put on a wedding ring by saying, well, I have to wear one. Why don't you have to wear one?
What the?
You just don't want the woman to know you're married so you can cheat. No, I don't. No, I don't. Then put on a ring. Then turn her and he, okay. And she still thinks you cheat. Isn't that amazing? That is mind-blowing. And it's another way for businesses to make money. That's what it is. It's nice. It's another way for commercial way to make money. Now you're making money off the man and the woman. He, stupid man, has on a wedding ring. According to Estate Diamond Jewelry, most people believe you should spend at least 2 months' salary on your engagement ring. If, for an example, you are making $60,000 per year, you should spend $10,000 on the engagement ring. Who made that decision for you? How can someone tell you, first of all, that the man should wear a wedding ring, but secondly, how much money to spend on it? You better be trying to take back your life. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. I want you to see this from the wedding chaplain. The wedding chaplain. A ritual that is gaining more and more popularity in wedding ceremonies is called foot washing. Watch this. What happened to Kunta Kinte? That's gross. For those who are not watching it live, these men are watching the woman's feet. They're gonna be watching feet for the rest of the marriage. What do you think about that, Hank? Had you seen that?
I had never seen that before.
What do you think about it?
That's vulgar. To me, it's vulgar. It's Christian-y Christian.
What?
It's like the trendy Christian thing, I gather, by the looks of it.
To wash their feet?
By looking at these people, because it's young people doing it. Young, black, white, even Asian.
Right.
Men and women doing it, and hipster pastors with their big old beards.
How's it Christian, though? I've never seen Christians do that.
I've never seen it either, but that's why I'm saying it's trendy Christian, because they're introducing this, because Jesus washed various of his disciples' feet,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it's kind of like a sort of symbolic.
But Jesus didn't wash no feet before he got married.
Right. He didn't get married, I don't think.
That woman had to clean those nasty feet before she came to the wedding. Went to the wedding.
Yeah.
What the? So everybody want to be like Jesus.
It reminds me of that CEO of Chick-fil-A, the supposedly Christian restaurant, washing the supposedly Christian rappers, I mean, shining his shoes or something like that. It's like this fake humility. It's like a one of those rituals where you're supposed to humiliate yourself. That I've heard that people do that. People humiliate themselves. And that's what they're doing to men now.
Well, how? Whites. How? I think I have the answer to the question I'm about to ask. But how were they able to convince the men you got to wash this woman nasty feet at the wedding?
It's woman worship, looks like to me.
And she up there just loving it, knowing that she's got a beta, she's about to control.
Makes me want to spit.
That is crazy. According to a Pew Research, this is mind-blowing to me, but I understand it. The share of young adults living with their parents is higher than any previous measurement. The share of young adults living with their parents is higher than any previous measurements. In July of 2020, 52% of young adults resided with one or both of their parents. Can you imagine that? The share of 18 to 29-year-olds living with their parents have become a majority. May God have mercy on my country. Growing up, that wasn't even a thought that after 18, I would be living with my parents. It just, how will America ever become great again if you're going to stay a baby for the rest of your life? If you're not going to get out there and deal with the issues of life? How would you grow up? How will you mature if you don't deal with the issues of life? Savings. This is from Savings. On an average, parents providing financial support gives $1,384 to their children monthly. Monthly. I can hear my parents now. If they even thought I had that idea in my head, y'all gonna give me $1,384 a month. Boy, what the? That is insane. And now you have adults acting like children. They're acting like they're children. According to the Daily Mail, religious leaders in Boston demanded. Religious leaders in Boston have demanded that white churches give money, give millions. What the? This is so ridiculous. According to the Daily Mail, religious leaders in Boston have demanded that white churches give millions of dollars in reparations to the city's black community. Watch this from CBS.
We call on the white church in Boston to join us in supporting a black reparations movement.
Standing in solidarity, clergy leaders from across the city of Boston gathered. They're here to ask the religious community to atone for black Boston suffering and support black reparations.
And we are coming, as Dr. King said,
look at those pitiful people,
to get our check.
Organizers from the Boston People's Reparation Commission say they're also following up on their demand on the city of Boston for a $15 billion initial payout to begin the process towards repair and reconciliation to the city's black community.
$5 billion as initial payment around cash payouts.
In 2022, the Boston City Council and Mayor Michelle Wu offered an official apology for the city's involvement in the transatlantic slave trade. She also launched two task force research teams to study Boston's role in slavery and its long impact on descendants.
So we still suffer from the trauma of those instances, and even today, dealing with racism.
Today, we call upon this city, its financiers, and its white churches to stop the shirking, stop the lying, tell the truth, and pay what is owed.
Wow. They call it upon white churches, not upon Jesus, but on the churches to get their money. Not on Jesus. And look how pitiful they look. And that little Wu woman, female, need to be sent back to China. I don't know how they ended up voting her in for mayor. They need to send that heifer back to China. Did you ever imagine that someone would be standing in the pulpit and calling up on the white man in the church to give them back, to give them money they never had or owned? I don't know what they're talking about. That's the same way it is with those adult children living at home now. They've been spoiled. And y'all don't owe any people a dime. Martin Luther King, where is Martin Luther King now? This is a socialist, communist mentality. What a mess. According to the Daily Mail, the church's names were built in the church's name were built in the 1600s and 1700s, and hundreds of slaves were owned by clergy and parishioners. Slavery been over with 150 years or so, and none of these people know nothing about slavery, but they want some money. They're never going to stop begging until white man say, no. No, I ain't giving you nothing. What's wrong with you? Go get a job. Get a job. It's never going to end. They've been spoiled. They're not calling on Jesus. They're calling on the white man. And white people, I told you how strong you are. They call you superior, supremacy. They are calling you God. And yet you're afraid. Why do they have, for the most part, but not only, angry, black, hateful, evil females going after the great white hope? But I have said from the very beginning, since Donald Trump first ran for president and won, I have said, watch out. Keep a little space between you and the great white hope, because there is something unique and interesting about him. You just don't see it every day, and you don't see it in most people. Because most people, men and women, male and females of all races, cower down really easily and quick under pressure. Most human beings cannot handle pressure. Even a little pressure that you're dealing with in your life. Have you noticed how easily you cower down under the pressure? You trip out. You worry. You just really freak out over it. You don't really be still and go through it. And I understand now why, but you don't do it. Donald Trump does. And he's a perfect example in a big way in that he's in the media all the time as to how to deal with the issues of life. Bloomberg Law is reporting Donald Trump's business empire was supposed to be peril like never before on Monday. Instead, it turned into the single greatest day on record for the former president's wealth. This is so deep, I hardly know what to do with it. You have heard it being said before, don't mess with the sons and daughters of God, right? You've heard that somewhere in your church or somewhere. This is an example of that. And again, I don't know the outcome. I'm just talking about what is happening right now. Don't mess with the Son of God. Evil has no power It only has intimidation. It only has accusatory. It only has yelling and carrying on, but it has no power inside of you or outside of you, inside of others. Watch this from MSNBC.
Honestly, this is so infuriating, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I care what the process is that these judges are arriving at. Whatever it is, it's flawed. I can tell you that much. I mean, David put it well. This is a different process for this person. We have decided that he gets his own private court of justice. He has a private plane. He has private clubs that he lives in. You know, apparently, you know, he basically fashioned himself his own private militia to try to take over the Capitol. You know, now he's getting his own private system of justice. This is an absolute travesty. It would not happen for anybody else. Anybody else, it would be like, sorry, buddy, you lost. Pay up. For him, he gets his own set of rules. This appears to be an absolute gross miscarriage of justice.
Somebody jealous. He is jealous. Jealous is not good. Jealousy is not good. I'm telling you, you better come out of your hell and wish everybody well. According to Bloomberg, around the same time, his social media company, Trump Media and Technology Group, wrapped up a 29-month long merger process, meaning shares worth billions of dollars. Watch this from X and Fox.
Mr. President, you mentioned the cash you have. You said on Friday it's something like $500 million. You intended to put some of that into the campaign. Now that the bond's been reduced, are you going to start putting money into your campaign?
Yep.
You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business. I mean, frankly.
That's right.
But I might. Nice. I might do that. I have the option.
Okay. If you're a
cash. And he's right. It's none of their business. Y'all still tell folks it's none of your business. Stay out of my business. It's none of your business. Tell them that. That's what they used to do in the good old days. None of your business. Because it's just devils inside of people. I love the way he told it. That guy, none of your business, first of all. That's from the old school. Let me just see what the Great White Hope has to say, by the way.
I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And this country doesn't have time either.
Amazing. One of the kind. This is from the New York Times. A major bridge in Baltimore collapsed after being struck by a cargo ship early Tuesday, sending vehicle plunging into the water and setting off an emergency response. Watch this from ABC.
We are still following that breaking news overnight out of Baltimore, Maryland. This is a live look right here. A portion of the Francis Scott Key Bridge has collapsed after a large boat collided with it around 1:30 this morning. Authorities are trying to rescue at least 7 people who were doing overnight work on that bridge. Firefighters say several vehicles hit the water, including one the size of a tractor trailer. Divers have now been dispatched into the water for what is being called a dire mass casualty incident.
Wow. It's amazing to see that boat just hit the bridge like that. And the whole bridge just collapsed like it had no power of its own. What we saw collapse. I don't know if the whole thing did it or not. But look how easily it came down. And I don't understand, you know, maybe whatever. But that's interesting to see that. Isn't that amazing? Mind blowing. And so it's still breaking news, and I don't want to assume anything because the mind is busy. It tells you all kinds of things about what happened, and you weren't there. I wasn't there. I don't know yet. And I don't know if we will ever know the real deal, because the one thing for sure And without a doubt, our media and government does not tell us what's really going on anymore. And Baltimore is in a mess. Baltimore is in a mess. This is from TPUSA. And we'll give you more news on the bridge as we find out as it happened. According to TPUSA, Baltimore is facing a police shortage following the city's ongoing efforts to cut the department budget. Only three police officer patrols, only three police officer patrolled an entire district of the city, which housed 61,000 residents. Watch this from X.
Baltimore's Southern Police District is the city's largest district, 61,000 residents. And on Tuesday afternoon, sources tell us at one point there were three police officers on patrol. Just seconds after the plea for officers hit the airwaves, so did pleas for help.
If anyone in Sector 2 can come clear, we have a physical child abuse at Morrill Park, and there's a 10-year-old at the location with bruises all over his body. Okay, we also have a common assault. We have a missing person, 2640 Huron Street.
10 minutes after that child abuse call was transmitted, it appears there were still no officers en route.
We still have one of that physical child abuse.
Yes, sir. And be advised, we are now holding 10 calls. No priority ones. We still have the physical child abuse and the common assault.
And it's heartbreaking. Imagine if you are a crime victim.
Betsy Smith with the National Police Association calls the city's police staffing dangerously low.
You are endangering the lives of the police officers that are on duty.
Amazing. And guess who wanted to defund the police? Black people. Black Lives Matter and all the stupid black mayors and others. It wasn't white, conservative, Christian people who wanted to defund the police. It was black people. And guess what happened? Because of the fear of white people, just think about that. They defunded the police, and now you have these emergency situations happening and no police around. And it's going to get worse because there's nothing to contain evil now. New York Post is reporting that a low-life mom was caught on camera pushing her young daughter to steal a purse from a Georgia restaurant. Watch this from a Daily Caller and Fox.
Police say the group with the mother quickly left the restaurant after the purse was taken, skipping out on a more than $500 bill. Police are still trying to identify this man. The woman's been identified as a Union City mother of three, 27-year-old Kenya Butler. She's charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor and theft by taking. Her 7-year-old daughter is not the one in trouble here. Police say the mother is the one seen on the surveillance video taking the girl over to the empty booth, saying something to the child, and then watching.
Amazing. So what do you think going to happen now? The girl been traumatized. She's been taught to steal. Even if she's not punished now, she's going to go on stealing. Her mother just gave her the okay on it.
What about the idea that churches should stay out of politics? You know what? That only applied to white churches, apparently,
yeah.
Because all the churches get at tax time, like this time of the year, we get all these notices from the IRS that you can't say anything or log in about any political issue in the pulpit, and you can't try to sway voters to go one way or the other because you're violating the separation of church and state, which is not part of the Constitution anyway, but you're violating all of that. Black churches never paid attention to that. They've always sponsored Martin Luther King days anyway.
Yeah.
They get out there and say, reparations on slavery. And by the way, slavery in the in the 19th century was a political issue. And, you know, many, many preachers that I know in the Restoration movement, trying to restore the New Testament church, would get out and preach against slavery in the slavery years. And they were told, quit preaching about this because that's a political issue. You know, anything is politics. If the other side doesn't want you to preach about it, it becomes political. But
yeah,
that's number one regarding the black churches on that. Number two, reparation. That's that is absolutely ridiculous. It's a, yeah, it's a stealing. It's theft of money. It's, yeah, just a stealing of money. The idea of the Bible is if a man doesn't work, neither let him eat.
A young man called yesterday. He, when I asked what's wrong with the blacks, and he said that the whites were laughing at the blacks, at them, when I say that. And I asked, well, they don't know you, how are they laughing at you? But I realized he had identified with being black. I know how that is because when I first moved to L.A. at the age of 18, it didn't happen in Alabama. It happened when I moved to L.A. that I started to listen to Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson and those people, and they were into the black thing. And they were saying that the white man's against us because we're black and it's slavery. And as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old young man, I fell for the lie. And I, for the first time in my life, I was focused on being black. And I thought for a while that life was rough with me because of my color. Whenever I had a job and I would work, if a white boss was to say anything to me that was correction or something like that, right away the thought would tell me it was because I was black. Really, I literally thought that. And it wasn't my thinking, but it was because I had identified with that. And it wasn't until I started to question things, well, what's wrong with if the white man is holding me back and I'm black, but they're not holding Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson and their families back, and they're black, what is it that they're doing that they're not telling me? How come they can get around it, but I can't? And I realized that we were being lied to by other black so-called leadership. We were being lied to. And I realized the anger that I had for my mother, who tried to turn me away from my father, was holding me back, and I was believing lies with the color thing. So here's what I recommend for the blacks. And at that point, I realized that I stopped identifying with color, period. But I had no idea why I had stopped identifying with color. But once I forgave, the identity with being black disappeared without me realizing why it had disappeared or how. But I just knew I no longer identified with being black. And so when I say, what's wrong with the blacks? People say, well, you act like you're not black. You're not including yourself. I'm not. Because I don't identify with color. So here's what I recommend to the blacks and all color of people. From this day forward, never identify with your color again. You are not your thoughts. You're not your feelings, your emotions, whether so-called good or bad. And you're not your body. And you're not your color. You're not a lesbian or a homosexual or a drug addict or an alcoholic or lonely or depressed. Or you don't have post-traumatic syndrome. You are not neither rich nor poor. You're neither guilty or innocent. You're neither a saint or anything, or a sinner. But you have identified with those things, and you call yourself that, one or another, right? And you keep yourself in hell. It is your God. And one thing for sure, and without a doubt, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven within, into perfect peace, until you stop identifying with anything or anyone. On this past Sunday, on 60 Minutes. They did a story, an interview with the so-called president of Mexico, Obrador. And it was very interesting. I didn't watch the whole thing. My producer got some sound bites from it. But it was interesting in some of the things that he was saying. And here is something that he said that I know the Great White Hope Donald Trump would never allow. This is from Newsweek. Outgoing Mexican President Obrador offered a proposal for ways in which the U.S. might stem the tide of migrants at its southern borders. Watch this from 60 Minutes.
With the ear of the White House, President López Obrador proposed his fix, that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, lift sanctions on Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo, and legalize millions of law-abiding Mexicans living in the U.S.
If they don't do the things that you've said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Your critics have said what you're doing or what you're asking for to help secure the border is diplomatic blackmail. What do you say?
I'm speaking frankly. We have to say things as they are. And I always say what I feel.
Amazing. If you don't do what you want, the flow will continue. Isn't that amazing? And he says what he means. Remember when Donald Trump had a hold of that? He said, okay, you don't do it the right way, you don't work with us, we don't put a tariff or something on your products. Okay? And they said, oh, all right, we're just playing, we're going to do what you want. We're going to work together, Mr. President. Bill Lockwood mentioned this yesterday on the show. Bill Lockwood is here every Tuesday, last Tuesday of the month. And he mentioned this. They going to leave it open. They ain't going to do nothing. Fox reporter Obrador denies claim that the majority of fentanyl is produced in Mexico and defend his country's traditional family values as a protection against drug abuse. Watch this.
The DEA says cartels are mass-producing fentanyl, and the U.S. State Department has said that most of it is coming out of Mexico. Are they wrong?
Yes. Or rather, they don't have all the information, because fentanyl is also produced in the United States.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico. And the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
That's right. They don't have the problem. Apparently, they're keeping their families tight over there as much as possible, it seems. Look at the family in America. Almost non-existence. And the last thing that our government is focused on in this country is the family. It's a mess. If ever we needed the Great White Hope back, we need him now. Not tomorrow, but now. One last example, I want to know, do you think that this will happen under Donald Trump? Watch this from X.
Yo, this dude just hopped off the train, and he was like, what city am I in? And this guy's trying to tell him, like, yo, you're in L.A., bro? And he's like, for real? Damn, I just came a long way. He's like, all right, peace. These two guys, actually. Where you guys come from?
Honduras.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Honduras.
Hell yeah. Shout out to these guys. They made it. All right, welcome to America.
Amazing, huh? Would that happen under the Great White Hope? Everybody and their mama in a rush to get here, too, because they are concerned that if Donald Trump should win in November, all this mess is over. So they're all trying to get here quickly as possible from around the world. What a mess! They're going to, according to this report, they're going to have in Santa Monica, California. I didn't notice until this morning, according to SMDP. The city of Santa Monica is set to witness some of the world's biggest sporting events during the next decade, including, most notable, the 2028 Olympics. I didn't know that. I hadn't heard nothing. I'm like, well, how are they going to do it in Santa Monica? But I remember they're getting the homeless people out of the way for a day or two. They'll find somewhere to put them, and then as soon as the event is over, they'll bring them back. Watch this from LA 28.
We are citizens of the world, a world we call LA. We speak hundreds of languages.
So many nations, dialects, and different perspectives represented.
We're more than a city. We're a mindset, a movement.
It's freedom. You can be the person you want in Los Angeles.
We already play on the world stage. In 2028, when we welcome the games, we'll show the world the real LA.
Did y'all know they had planned that? I had no idea. And the last time, as I remember, they had the Olympic thing in L.A. was back in 1984. Look how beautiful that commercial was. And that ain't nothing like L.A., Santa Monica, or anywhere. But the people overseas are going to say, oh, L.A. so pretty, Santa Monica, I'm going. And then they're going to get robbed or knocked out or a car broken into. But they make the commercial look so good, make you want to run there, right? It's going to be interesting to see how that turned out. According to KTLA, the Biden administration has awarded the Los Angeles region nearly $900 million for public transportation and infrastructure improvement ahead of the 2028 Summer Olympics. Amazing. Why can't they just clean up the street without that summer event? Why can't they repair the roads because they're taking out our tax dollars to supposedly keep the roads repaired? Why? What a trick being paid on human beings. Why are you fighting one another, hating one another? You're being controlled by the government. When I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. Children today gonna suffer tomorrow. What a sad way to live. And this dumb mayor of Los Angeles, I've debated this woman before. She has a fro. She's black. According to Cal Matters, a three-day trip to Paris last week gave Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass an opportunity to learn about preparation for the Olympics. Watch this from KTLA.
We were able to get thousands of people off the street last year.
One of the things that we have got to figure out how to do is to keep people from falling into homelessness. And the Mayor's Homeless Fund, which is an independent nonprofit, is focused on that by paying attention to people who might be facing eviction and preventing their eviction from taking place. So I am hoping, because we do not need to build any major stadiums, that the momentum from the games and the World Cup, which is happening in 2026, will really mobilize the city and the county to get our people off the streets and housed.
Mama, always try to take care of you. James Carver was right. We're going to get to that story where James Carver, he's a Democrat, and we're talking about too many mama. Quote unquote. Not exactly how it's there. We have that coming up for you. But the Democratic Party is too feminine, female. Something like that. I'll play the soundbite for you as we move forward. But look at Carrie Bass, mama. Always try to take care of you. Can't even take care of herself. And then in taking care of you, she destroys you. But I'm about to play this for you, then I'll get your phone calls and super chat. I want you, to, men and women, to pay attention to this poem. And this poem is the New Testament. If you can reach these things that you're going to hear in this poem, you will be a man. You will be a woman. You will overcome being a male and naturally develop into a man. You will overcome being a female and naturally develop into becoming a woman. You will naturally do it if, and everything that's in this poem is in the New Testament. This is the New Testament, and this is Manhood Hour, and I want you to take your time. Just calm down for a minute. Don't reject it right away. I know some of people, the children of the lie, the ones that are evil at heart, they're going to reject it, but that's fine. You can reject it. Stay in your hell. I'm talking to the ones that want out of hell. I want you to quietly listen to this poem. It's so deep, and it's so true. Every time I hear it, I just don't know what to do. I want you to hear the If poem from, what's that man's name?
Rudyard Kipling.
Rudyard Kipling. Watch this.
If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but are none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man my son.
That is why Donald Trump is succeeding in life right now. And I promise every man and woman, if you can do that, live a life without having thoughts be your aim, you have an amazing life. I'm telling you that is the truth. Isn't that amazing? It's so deep. And I tell y'all to watch Donald Trump without taking sides. You don't need to take his side or anyone's side. Just watch and overcome thoughts. You want a life without thinking. And practical thinking is fine as long as you don't make thoughts your aim. Practical thought, I got to go to work, I got to build a house, I need food, or whatever, right? That is the New Testament. My producer's telling me that according to Pemisden, he wrote the poem as if he was advising his son on how to find his place in life and to live a life in harmony with others. And you definitely will. So I hope you that helped a little bit. I have said over and over and over for years now that your mind, your thoughts, your imagination, and emotions are not your friend. That they are pure evil. And anyone, whether it's Jesse Peterson or Jesse Peterson Mama or the Great White Hope or the Great White Hope Mama or the bomb on the street, anyone that listens to thoughts, you're living in hell. You're in pure hell. And everyone that is living in imagination, their thoughts, bring every thought into captivity, right? Anyone that believe any thoughts except operated by practical thoughts as far as making breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or what you want to eat, or whatever, right, where you want to live. Your thoughts are evil, and they're not your own. That's what's so weird about it. Your thoughts are not your own. You don't create thoughts. You're not in charge of thoughts. They're not you, and they're not from God. And yet, 99.99999, all until some start to realize that most people live in their thought. They believe them. You cannot, most people don't even want you to tell them that you're not your thoughts, that all thoughts are all lies all the time. And they ask, well, who will I be? How will I live if I don't think? What will I be if I don't think? And my answer to that is when you stop thinking is when you will start living. You will have a true life, a real life, a non-participating life. It will be amazing, simple and easy. And you will be in the world, but not of it. And you can't make yourself be that way. You have to overcome it by overcoming thoughts. God said, it's in the Word. In the beginning, that was the Word was God. It's in the Word that bring every thought into captivity. But what do the Christians and others do? They live by thoughts. They're not bringing them into captivity. They are giving them life by going along with them, by believing that they are their thoughts. What a sad way to live. You're living in hell. And most people want to stay in their hell. And so they hold on to anger, and they say, Jesus was angry. Satan has deceived them to believe that human anger applies to Jesus. And so they're applying the spirit of evil and calling it Jesus. Well, Jesus was like that. No, he wasn't. But you're living in your hell, I understand, so stay in your hell. I am totally okay with it. God is okay with it. Christ is okay with it. With it, stay in your hell and be miserable for the rest of your life and drop your body in your hell and you're stuck. You might not have a way out once that happened. I don't know, but I wouldn't take the risk. Anyone that has anger, and the Christians promote anger. Jesus was angry. Anyone that has anger is a murderer. Anyone, no matter who it is, you are a murderer. You are as bad as a person that would kill his own family, a person that would rape. You are no different if you have anger. That is your soul, your spirit is wicked. Never trust an angry person. The human heart is evil. Anger is evil. And anyone that has anger has fear. And fear is not of God. What a mess! I want to give you an example of what anger can do to you. I want to give you the case of Michael Miller. The case of Michael Miller. This is from Fox. According to the Fox report, a man was arrested for allegedly killing his wife and daughter and wounding his son in a suspected domestic violence incident in their home. Why is this from Explore With Us?
Are you sure that you did this and you're not dreaming?
I hope to God this is a dream. I hope I am just freaking out. I hope to God it is, but it's not. It's real.
He tells first responders he's been possessed, ominously warning that something serious is happening to his soul. Once he's alone, Michael begins speaking to himself.
I'm telling the truth, Father. Father God, I'm telling the truth. I don't care what happens. I don't care if I go to jail for 1,000 years. I'm telling the truth. Jesus, set me free. Set me free, Jesus. Father God, it's up to you whether I get out of here or not. Father God, I love you. In Jesus' name I pray.
That is every human being on this side of heaven until they return to the Father. Your problems, and I'm not medically diagnosing you at all, but your problem is spiritual. My problem is spiritual until we start to overcome it. Every human being is two hoops and a holler. If this story is true about Michael Miller, every human being is two hoops and a holler for becoming Michael Miller. Just two hoops and a holler. One incident, one thought can change it just like that. Because you're possessed. Michael Miller, if this is true, is 100% correct. He's possessed with evil spirits. According to Phoenix New Times, court documents state 29-year-old Michael Miller was bipolar and schizophrenic and believed both the devil and God made him do it. Watch this from Explore With Us again.
Religious preoccupation and schizophrenia tends to occur more in cultures with more religious occurrence in the general population. It's important to remember that spiritualism and religious preoccupation is common among mentally healthy people, and that mental illness tends to just skew the normal behaviors to the extreme, which may be why this kind of preoccupation is often seen in schizophrenia, especially considering if someone was raised in a religious community. They may have been raised with an understanding that someone speaking out of thin air or an auditory hallucination could be God talking. So then when it starts to happen, it follows that they would automatically assume that's what the voice is.
But it wasn't me.
Really?
It wasn't me.
Who was it?
It was me.
You said it was you.
Yes.
Okay.
The devil had me.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't me.
Right.
It wasn't me. It was me, but it wasn't. It wasn't my insides that could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't my insides that could kill my family.
Right.
That's right. And the person that was reading that, he's lying. in that, or maybe just doesn't know, this happened in more in the non-Christian world than the Christian world. It's just that in the Christian world, some Christians are aware that they're possessed by evil spirits. In the secular world, with all the fighting and robbing and killing and deceiving and all that that's going on, that's what's driving them. They're just not aware of it. They have convinced, the spirits have convinced the secular world that it's them. They have convinced themselves that it's them, but it's happening in this. Look around. Look at our government. Look at our look at the schools. Look at the family. Look at the secular educational world. It's the same thing. They hate one another. They are on an ego drive to get all these degrees, to get a false sense of a thrill, to make themselves feel good. It's happening in everyone. It's just that some Christians are working on themselves so they're a little more aware that it's not them. But it's happening in every human being. Every human being is possessed. And the secular world give it names to cover up evil. They call it something else, but it's still evil. And then they give each other medication, you know, those antidepressant stuff, and they deaden your consciousness so that you will not be aware of what's going on inside of you, and it just get worse. Because awareness is the only thing that can change dark spirits. It's the only thing that can cause them to leave you. It's consciousness, the light, the mind of God, being present. Believe what you want. It's up to you. Again, I'm just telling you, I'm bringing you the message. You are possessed. You're not your thoughts. And yes, evil thoughts can make you do what Michael has been accused of doing. All in the name of Jesus. Good Fight is reported that Michael told police that he had tucked his son into bed the night before, and they said a prayer together, asking God to keep them safe. This is from Explore With Us.
Michael recalls a recent religious awakening that spurred his new prayer habit.
I said a prayer with my son. I rubbed his back and I said a prayer. Tucked him in, and he fell asleep.
What kind of prayer is it? Like a standard
to Jesus?
Prayer?
No, we don't usually pray. Uh-huh. We don't usually pray. We just 2 weeks ago, I feel like I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, uh-huh, with fire. I feel like I'm on fire for the Lord.
Oh, good.
So I'm trying to pray with him and teach him. Well, I'm not trying. I am praying, mm-hmm, with him, and I'm doing things that the Lord wants us to do.
What did you guys pray about?
I pray that the Lord would keep him safe. We thank them for the house. We thank them for the car. We thank them for the food. We thank them for mommy and daddy.
The unfortunate thing is those prayers were to Satan and not God. And Michael, apparently, if this is true, just didn't know it. He just didn't know it. If you really, really, really be honest with yourself, and really be honest with yourself, you'll see that nasty, evil spirit is in you. It's in everybody. And everyone that is possessed with spirits like that, and all are until they overcome, you are about you. You're about nobody else but you. You don't care about anyone else but you. And if the world doesn't go your way, you'll destroy it, meaning the people of the world. Michael goes on to talk about, according to Good Fight, Miller told detective that he visualized his wife as a demon. This is from Explore With Us.
After the attack, neighbor after neighbor came forward as witnesses to Michael and Adriana's fighting. One neighbor told police, the couple's yelling reverberates throughout the neighborhood.
My wife got mad at me, really mad at me for yelling, she got mad at me for not sleeping. Mm-hmm. I go, babe, you can't get mad at me for not sleeping. It's not my fault. And she, well, no, 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 no. She goes off. Nah, 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 nah. And I say, well, what the is your problem? And then I started meditating in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, okay, well, God the Father, Jesus the Son. Who's the Spirit? I thought it was Satan. I thought it was God the Father. I thought he was married to Lucifer, and they had a son named Jesus.
Okay.
That's what I thought. And then I was indwelt by Satan, and I killed him.
Well, wait, let's talk about that. You said you're enveloped with Satan? What was the word?
Indwelt.
Okay. What does that mean?
Consumed.
Amazing. If only someone could have gotten to Michael before, if all this stuff happened, before it happened, Michael, you got to drop anger. You got to forgive. And God will forgive you and take those demons out of your mind and give you a clear mind. I want you to encourage you to think about how you've treated yourself and others. How family members have turned on one another. It's not you. It's the same spirit that Michael is talking about here. They're the same spirit. Here is where he's talking about his struggle with alcohol. Watch this from Explore with us.
I had a problem with alcohol.
Oh, okay.
And I got to the point where I wanted to drink alcohol every single day. All day. I'd get home from work, and I first thing I would do was pick up a beer, and I'd have 12, 13 of them, and that's not right. And I was like, okay, I got to stop. And then I tried to quit on my own power, and I kept trying, God, just, I'll do this better, I'll do that better. And it didn't work. And then I did this. I did this. I tried to kill myself. I was serious about it. This mm-hmm. wasn't no joke. I did that really hard. I wanted to get out of there. I wanted out of life.
While Michael's story about the attempt is certainly serious and worthy of concern, he may be sharing the story now as another way to try to victimize himself.
No, you're not.
By conveying his own suffering, he may feel that he'll win lenience later down the line.
That's not it. What a blind reader. That's not it at all. He's telling you the truth about what happens in all human beings. It's a spiritual issue. And the alcohol is not the problem. Stop calling yourself an alcoholic. The alcohol is an attempt to find peace. And you drink a little bit, you feel good, right? A thrill. Then you drink more, you feel good again. And you keep drinking. After a while, the feeling good, the drinking alcohol doesn't make you feel good, but you keep drinking more and more and more, trying to feel good. Same thing with drugs or anything, sex or anything. And Michael thought he was even talking to God. And that's what Satan do. That's what Satan does to the Christians. He made the Christians think that when they're praying to God. And then the Christian wonder, why is my prayer not working? Why do I still have fear? Why is my family still messed up? What's wrong? Oh, I know. Satan telling, well, you have to wait until you get to heaven. You're not perfect. It's not going to happen here. He lies to them. When God said, be still and know me, Satan said, pray out to me. And you think it's the voice of God. And I want, you can test this too and prove me wrong. You can't stop yourself. Just smoke on this. If you were in charge of your own thoughts, if you were the creator of all thought, why don't you stop yourself from thinking evil, stupid stuff? Why don't you stop yourself from thinking about revenge or fear or loneliness or suicidal thoughts? Why don't you? It looked like I may have a little bit more proof in a scientific way that evil works through the woman. Uh-huh. One monkey don't stop no show. I think I have scientific proof to help you to see. And the reason I want to encourage you to see it so you can overcome it, men and women, that evil comes through the mother. And here is more proof of that. It's not that I need it because I can see that it comes through the mother, but some of the blind people can't see it. They don't want to believe it. And you hear, especially with guys, and some ladies, I don't hate my mom. I love my mama. My mama was good. No such thing. The one thing you can bank on, there's no such thing as a good mama. It doesn't, it's non-existence. No such thing as a good mama. A mother in case of white people. Mother in case of the black mama. So here's more proof that evil comes through the woman. NPR, neuroscientist Jim Fallon uses brain scans and genetic analysis to uncover the wiring and the nature, and the nature and nurture of murderers. This is from NPR. Don't blame me. I'm just reporting what they're reporting. Neuroscientist Jim Fallon uses brain scans and genetic analysis to uncover the wiring in the nature and nurture of mothers. Just smoke on that for a minute. How many people do you hear honestly love you enough to tell you that the evil comes through the woman? And Satan is so deceiving, he has used the woman and the media and the preachers to make you think that it comes through the man. Now, once it comes through the mother into the male, the man can become violent because that is his abnormal nature. And he doesn't know how to handle it. But women are way more violent than men. Way more. They just don't report it because they're covered up evil. So you smoked on the fact that neuroscientist Jim Fallon, according to NPR, uses brain scans and genetic analysis to uncover the wiring in the nature and nurture of murderers? This is from Steady CU.
One of my colleagues asked me to analyze a bunch of brains.
When Fallon looked at the brain of psychopath killers, the damage was right above the eyes, right up here where I tell you to observe and watch those thoughts coming and going, be separated from them. That's what Satan operates. According to Study CU, when Fallon looked at the brains of psychopath killers, the damage was right above the eyes in the interior part of the temporal lobe. The gene that seemed to be related to a higher propensity to violence can only be given from the mother. According to this guy, Fallon, and according to the Study CU, the genes that seem to be related to higher propensity to violence can only be given from the mother. Watch this from Ted.
One of my colleagues asked me to analyze a bunch of brains of psychopathic killers. And the question is, how do you end up with a psychopathic killer? So we look at these sorts of things theoretically on the basis of genetics and brain damage and the interaction with environment and exactly how that machine works. So we're interested in exactly where in the brain and what's the most important part of the brain. And how you end up with a psychopath and a killer depends on exactly when the damage occurs. It's really a very precisely timed thing. You get different kinds of psychopaths. And the pattern is that those people, every one of them I looked at who was a murderer, had damage to their orbital cortex, which is right above the eyes, the orbits. So there's this pattern that every one of them had. The key thing is that the major violence genes is called the MAOA gene. And it's sex-linked. It's on the X chromosome. And so in this way, you can only get it from your mother. And in fact, this is probably why mostly men, boys, are psychopathic killers, are very aggressive. But for a son, he could only get the X chromosome from his mother. So this is how it's passed from mother to son.
Wow. Now, do you believe it? It's scientific. If this report is right from this guy, because he's telling the truth about that, it comes from the mother. Anyone that thinks your mother was sweet, I had a good mother, you're deceived. All who are born through the woman must be born of the father. Ain't no way out. And when you sit quietly, be still and know the father, once you go and forgive your mother, she couldn't help it. It's not her, it's the spirit that made a home in her. When you go and forgive her, God will. If you're sincere that I'm wrong for resenting her, you can see that you had this anger and you're wrong for hating her, just like you can help yourself, she can help herself, and I'm wrong for being angry at her, and go and forgive, the light comes on, and the rest is history. You got to be aware of those thoughts. They're not your own. Because if you're not aware of them, you're one with them whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you believe it or not. And it begins with Eve. And these women are given the fathers of these children and the children pure hell. That's all they have to give is hell. They have no love. And yet Satan has done an amazing job of convincing human beings that mothers and wives or wives and mothers have love, and they don't. Look how they constantly reminding you that a mother's love is so special. They don't want you to remember that it's not. But when you forgive, then the love is going to come from above, and it'll be right. It'll be good. It won't be your love or my love or anyone's love, but the love of the Father from above and within. Now, that is some deep information. You can either use it to examine yourself, or you can poo-poo it away. Oh, that ain't true. Let the devil convince you and continue to live in your hell. Or you can be free of it. You can have perfect peace while you live right here, right now. And if you really understood, you can have perfect peace right now and for eternity. Today is Good Friday. It's Good Friday today. Not only Amazing. Is it Friday, it is Good Friday. And some of you might not know what Good Friday is. You're so busy crossing the borders illegally, you haven't paid attention. You haven't read the Trump Bible yet. And so what I want to do is introduce to those who don't know and remind those who might know what Good Friday is. And this is from USA Today. The holiday is part of a holy week, which leads up to Easter Sunday. Good Friday is the day Christ was sacrificed on the cross. According to Britannica, it is a day for sorrow, penance, and fasting. Watch this from the history.
Good Friday is also known as Great Friday, Black Friday, Easter Friday, or Holy Friday. It is a significant day for the Christian community since it commemorates the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It is a day to remind oneself of Jesus Christ's sacrifices. Judas betrayed Jesus, and Christians believed that Jesus came back 3 days after being crucified, on the day known as Easter. The death of Jesus signifies forgiveness for all of the sins of mankind, with Jesus sacrificing himself for the good of humankind. Good Friday is a day of mourning, and people keep fasts and pray to the Lord. Church services take place from noon to 3 p.m. on this day, and decorations from statues are removed. Priests are dressed in black robes. On Good Friday, Christians do not eat meat, and traditionally the food which is eaten is hot cross buns. However, many people do eat fish instead of meat. The reason why fish is eaten is because it comes from the sea and hence is believed to be a different kind of flesh. Fish shapes were also believed to be secret symbols by which Christians would identify each other at a time when their religion had been banned. A lot of those who followed Jesus Christ were also fishermen.
Amazing. Happy Good Friday, I guess. It's interesting. I don't know what to think about Good Friday. So, Christ died today, but the people, the human beings are acting as though he did not die. It's amazing. So you might ask, how are everyday Americans doing? It's a real mess. Talk about a spiritual battle. It's a real, real mess. A real mess. According to J Post, several women claim they were punched in the face on the streets by strangers in New York. Watch this compilation.
I was on my way to work and it was probably 10 a.m. And as I was crossing the street, a man looked at me and within a split second, pointed two fingers at me in a gun symbol and then slammed a bag, plastic bag full of God knows what down on my face from about a foot away and I fell into the ground.
He goes, sorry, and then punches me in the head.
Just got punched in the face walking home. I'm like actually in shock. I was literally just walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground.
It is a random, unprovoked, vicious attack on a 57-year-old woman in Brooklyn. Watch as the suspect ignores another man walking nearby, then punches the woman in her face, causing her to stumble backwards. Her mouth now wired shut, her face fractured in several places.
And as I turn to look, I see this man with his fist up ready to swing. I went like this, and he hit me square in the arm because I think he was trying to hit me in the face. It was a man that was, I think, around my height, a little taller. I'm 5'10". He was possibly African-American.
Amazing. Somebody said it, African-American. Most people, especially white people, are afraid to say that. It's going to get worse. I want you to think about this. Smoke on it. For the last 70 years or so, give or take, white people have been blamed for everything that's wrong, so-called wrong. And white people have been accused and called racist and white supremacists and skinhead, whatever they call them, right? Generation after generation after generation. And so now, after teaching people to hate, to be angry at someone else, which is hatred, they have told the people, you can be high and no problem, you're not going to jail. You can live on the streets. You can be on drugs. We're going to provide needles for you. We're going to, whatever you need, we're going to make sure you have pot, whatever, right? So we want you angry and high. Hating the white people and high. What do you think going to happen? It's going to get worse. Anger is evil. And believe you me, nowhere is safe today in America. I know y'all think, oh, the red states are safe. They are. They appear to be a little better. But they ain't safe. Some parts of the red states are as bad as the quote-unquote blue states. According to Fox, residents living in small condo complex in Houston say for them, spring break is just another nightmare. Watch this from Fox.
It's a living hell, actually. No one feels safe anymore.
The condos are 3,200 square feet and are valued at $500,000 and up.
It was horrible. Party on the street.
2:30 a.m., gunshot, 12:30 a.m., nobody can sleep. It was crazy.
The residents blame two condos in their complex that are short-term rentals.
It's all due to these short-term rentals.
Exactly. No doubts about it.
We first reported on this Galleria area condo complex back in December. The video surveillance residents provided then included a couple having sex on the balcony. It was a Monday morning. Last week, residents say they dealt with the sound of gunshots and partying in the street, making it impassable.
From naked people to people carrying guns to actual gunshots, what happens next?
Someone's going to get killed. It's just a matter of time.
Amazing. Poor whites, they're so subject to it now. White people just want to have a first-class life. They want to be able to travel first-class, live first-class, go to first-class restaurants, first-class stores, clothing stores, grocery market. They want to be able to walk on the beach. They want to be able to go to an event and have fun, eat popcorn and hot dogs. They want to live near the beach. They don't want all this. Remember when Hollywood Boulevard was really a nice place to go and hang out and walk around and see a nice movie or whatever, hanging out on a Sunday afternoon or something? When I first moved out here to L.A. in 1968, Hassan is saying no. Joel Friday said no. They don't remember that. Isn't that amazing? The millennial has missed out on the good old days. It's gone. They don't even know about it. But Hollywood, when I first moved out here, was really a nice location. It has never been what your imagination makes you think Hollywood would be. When you're living in the country somewhere, you say, oh, I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to California. I'm going up to Hollywood, right? It's never been the imagination, but it's been very nice. It was safe to walk. You never thought for a minute, not one second of a thought, that you would be attacked by some homeless person or drug addict on the streets. You never imagined that one day you would see a bunch of homeless people living on the street, drug addicts and crazy people of Hollywood. When you were younger, you would walk around and you look at the little stars on the boulevard. I never really care about the stars on the boulevard, but I saw them. Those days are gone now, too. They ran Hollywood Boulevard away. And then they have been trying to rebuild Hollywood Boulevard over the years, and it's not working. And then they went out and to Westwood. And so they, and I forget the white guy's name. He went out there, he redid Westwood all over again. Over there by UCLA. And Westwood, for a while, became Hollywood, quote unquote. And now Westwood is going down, quiet as a cat. It's not the same anymore the way it used to be, so nice. They want it this way. But Hollywood, to the millennials that don't know, used to be a nice place. And to live up there was really nice. You had the mountain view and all that. Hollywood is gone now. It's dangerous. It's dirty. It's not a fun place anymore. This is from KTLA. A Hollywood Boulevard homeless encampment that residents says is a hotspot for selling and buying drugs have sparked continued concern as they call unhoused, meaning bums, homeless people on the street. Residents are already returning to the location. Watch this from KTLA.
A persistent problem plaguing neighborhoods around Hollywood and beyond.
Starts with one tent and then they basically, you know, become a whole
line of, you know, maybe five or six tents combined.
Pre-cleanup, it was pretty dystopian, is all I can say. It was like a Mad Max movie.
This one was the worst.
Homeless encampments like this one on Hollywood and Taft growing in size. Longtime resident Brian Winchell says while he sympathizes with those down on their luck, he says people in these encampments steal power from local buildings, leave behind mounds of trash, cause disruptions at all hours of the night, and most concerning of all, bring violence and drug buyers and sellers to the neighborhood. He's disappointed in city leadership, too.
We pay their paycheck. That's my big beef. We pay their paycheck. So we call the 311 and we call the, you know, all the politicians that are, you know, in this district, and it's really very slow to respond with any kind of action.
I just wonder why the police couldn't do a little bit more to keep an eye on them.
Amazing. They won't let the police do anything. They don't want the police to do anything. They don't want them to do anything. That's why. And it's so interesting in that the voters, and not all, but most voters in California, Hollywood, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, all around, tend to vote for the same liberals or new liberals over and over again. And they see the results of their work. But they go and vote for them over and over and over again. Isn't that amazing? According to KTVU, a wheelchair user out of Oakland born, 102-year-old Victor Silver Sr., often find graffiti painted on the back fence of his Oakland home. He got a citation to remove it or face a fine of $1,100 fine plus an additional $1,277 for each failed re-inspection. Watch this from Fox.
Wheelchair-bound, Oakland-born, 102-years-old Victor Silva Sr. often finds graffiti painted onto his back fence of his Oakland home where he's lived and paid taxes for 80 years. Earlier this month, he got a violation citation from the city of Oakland to remove it by Tuesday the 19th or face an $1,100 fine plus an additional $1,277 for each failed re-inspection.
It was so absurd. It's like a joke. I don't know what to say.
Somebody's crazy.
Now, this utility box has six different kinds of graffiti on it. I wonder if the utility got a citation. The family owns a nearby small commercial building which has been broken into three times in the last year. On one occasion, Victor Jr. found a person inside. In each case, he called 911.
And I'm put on hold every time. So it's hard to understand where our tax dollars are going. They can't answer 911, but they can come out and hassle you about a fence.
Amazing. So they let the criminals out. They take away the bail bond. They take away the police. They take away anything to protect the innocent. And then the criminal commit the crime by painting on your wall. You are punished for it. Think about that. You have to spend money. You have to go out and do the work to clean up. Not the criminal, but you. I want my country back. It's gone, though I want it back. It's not coming back, though I want it back. What a sad way to live, huh? But this is America today. And Victor was asked how he lived so long. How you live to be 102? Remind me of Miss Shug. Watch this.
I had to ask, how does one live to 102 or 103?
Very easy. Just keep breathing and, you know, behave yourself.
That's right. Keep breathing and behave yourself. It's just that simple. Last but not least, before this break, and then I'll take your calls. if you don't want to live a long time, if you don't want to live to be 102, 110, 120, Miss Seeger was like, whatever. Miss May, she lived to be 100 and something. But if you don't want to live a long time, do this. Watch this from OutKick. The El Paso Police Department released what might be the most chilling body cam footage the public has seen in a long time. Watch this from X.
Do me a favor, dude. Can you step out the car for me?
I can't do that.
Where's that?
You need a backup, bro.
Why do I need a backup?
You need a backup right now.
Why?
You need a backup.
Why, dude? What's in your hand?
It's a gun. So please back up.
Hey, let me see your hand, dude.
Go by your car, please.
Relax.
Can you go home tonight?
Relax,
you go
dude.
Home tonight, right?
Relax.
I'm relaxed. Can you please go by your
okay,
car?
Okay, just put it. Just put it down, dude.
Okay, go by your car. Then.
Okay, I will.
Okay, go.
Put it down.
You want to go home tonight, right?
Just put it down.
You want to go home tonight?
Just put it down,
you
dude.
Go home tonight?
Just put it down.
I'm not going to put it down. Go by your car.
What dude. Is it, dude?
Go. Do you want to go home tonight?
Yes, relax.
Did you pick the wrong day to go to work today?
Okay, dude, relax, please. Okay. Relax, dude.
I'm going to relax. Just...
Shots fired, shots fired.
He did. What a mess. He's saying to the police, according to this film, do you want to go home tonight? You picked the wrong day to come to work. You picked the wrong day to go to work. Do you want to go home? The cop like, put it down, put the gun down. You want to go home tonight? You picked the wrong day to go to work. What the? And so some of you may remember the Great White Hope, Donald Trump, how he was well on his way to bring it back, law and order. It was amazing to see it. I hadn't seen it in a minute. And he was on his way to bring it back, law and order. In order. But in case you don't remember, this is from the Trump White House. Trump White House. President Trump rebuilt the United States military after 8 years of decline and neglect. The ISIS caliphate was destroyed. Remember that? The ISIS caliphate was destroyed. Nearly 8 million civilians were freed from ISIS bloodthirsty control. Watch this compilation.
It should be formally announced sometime, probably next week, that we will have 100% of the caliphate. Nobody thought it was possible to do it this quickly. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead. He was the founder and leader of ISIS. He died after running into a dead-end tunnel, whimpering and crying and screaming all the way.
Somebody criticized me the other day because they asked me what I do, and I said, I'm going to bomb the shit out of them. It's true. I don't care. I don't care. They've got to be stopped.
Amazing. Remember those days? You may have a chance to get them back come November. It's up to you. If ever we needed the Great White Hope, we need him now. Amazing. According to Trump White House, Trump also became the first since Ronald Reagan not to start a war. Amazing. Amazing. Not to start a war. The first since Ronald Reagan. And for those who might not be aware, Ronald Reagan was a Republican president from California. If ever we needed you, Lord, we need you now.